talking about something that affects so many people, but that nobody wants to talk about: pornography. Speaking to individuals trying to stop looking at porn and to spouses looking for support.
This is Danny and Lindsay Pullman, a married couple who have been through this together. We're sharing a mix of our personal experiences, our experience as certified life coaches, and other empowering ideas.
We hope this can help you on your journey.
Enjoy! Hey there! Last week we introduced you guys to this idea of people-pleasing in marriage, and we kind of like got into definitions and what it looks like, and in this we started giving solutions, but you're going to hear a little bit more about where that comes from today. And I almost feel like figuring out what you want, I feel like it's almost like developing this muscle that you've never had. If it's something you haven't done a lot of, or like you set out your like outlay of life from age 12 on, like I go to high school this year and then I go to college or a mission and then I get married and then I have the kids, like so awesome. And I'm sure you probably did want those things, but we don't have to stop wanting things as we get older just because we didn't decide, you know, didn't like lay it out for us,
Yeah. So one basic thing that really helped me when I first started figuring this out, or not that I have it figured out, but started learning and finding a better way for me, was giving myself permission to say no. Like, and particularly with Lindsay in our marriage, like, even if she was ticked off, like being giving myself permission to say no, even if she's upset, and I would be squirming and like going a little crazy inside, like, oh man, she's upset. I don't know how to deal with this yet. And, but I'm trying this because I feel like I need to try this. And, but man, it was so good for me to like even see what came up in my side of things when I would say no and she'd be upset. So helpful. Such valuable information.
And for me,
in there.
It was interesting because I was like, I'd be pissed sometimes, but I'd also be like, that's cool.
I was going to use like, pissed instead of ticked, but I wanted you to speak for yourself there.
No, I'd be mad, but I'd also be like, yeah, cool.
Yeah,
but
that wasn't that funny?
You were like after the, it wasn't usually in the moment where it's like, oh, that's so cool. He's standing up
right, for himself.
It was like, I'd be mad, but then later I'd be like, hey.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, there was like party that wanted me to kind of like start being more authentic to myself, standing up for myself, right? But then part of you kind of hated it first.
When it didn't always align with me getting the dishes getting done right when I wanted to.
Oh, isn't that funny? Okay, speaking of that, just yesterday had an experience with dishes where
we're not human anymore. These things don't happen to us, right? I'm just kidding.
What are you talking about?
Okay,
so yesterday morning, we kind of have an arrangement with dishes. So 2 nights ago is normally when I would have done it. Part of me was like, you know what? The kids have been gone all day. We didn't go through a lot of dishes. I took them out to McDonald's for dinner. So maybe we can get away with that run of load tonight. So then the next morning, I get back from my morning call or whatever, and Lindsay she's upset. I thought she was.
I was like about to go out for a workout, but I was like, I wanted to let him know that.
Yeah. Were you not upset at all?
I don't know if upset.
Why don't you describe what condition you were in? I'm gonna let you speak. You were bothered.
I was bothered.
Okay. I'll let you speak for yourself here. It seems important.
Annoyed
to you.
Or bothered? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go for it, baby.
Okay, so you're bothered.
Yeah.
Does that word work for you? Okay. She was bothered. She had this look on her face. She talked to me about the dishes. Why didn't you do it? I feel like when you do this, it just leaves it for me to do it. And anyway, it was actually a really good experience with where I was at during this particular moment, and I'm not always there, but and it's good to pay attention to where you're at. Mm-hmm. In this moment, I didn't feel threatened by her being upset or bothered. Sorry, bothered.
You can say upset. I don't care.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay, so I didn't feel threatened. I didn't think, oh man, something's gone wrong. I did something wrong. I'm screwed. She's gonna not want to be around me. There weren't alarms going off in me. It was like, oh, okay, she's feeling something there, and I wasn't threatened by it. Mm-hmm. So first of all, like, that used to never be the case. The fact mm-hmm. that this happens to me regularly now is so awesome to me and so helpful for our relationship. Mm-hmm. Because then what I was able to do next is think about her request. And, you know, part of me could have, the old me might have more naturally been like, I got to get them done right away before she gets more ticked, right? but this time I was like, you know what? She could be ticked or not whether I do these or not. If I decide to do this, first of all, I gave myself permission to not, right? If I didn't want to do them, I wasn't going to do them. Mm-hmm. So I gave myself that space. And then instead of, I'm trying to say this the right way, not like for you. Instead of thinking it'll fix her emotions or whatever, I was like, you know what? She likes this. And she likes the dishes done. Mm-hmm. I'm in a position at this moment where I have time. I can take it. It'll take me like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it, whether it fixes her emotions or not, because that's not why. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. I still had to do my own self-coaching on other things later on that day.
Yeah. So. And I also recognized there's part of me that really didn't want to do it at that moment.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't really want to, but I'm going to. I'd like to for Lindsay. And I let that part kind of went out in that moment. But it was a great experience, and I was just kind of looking at it, noticing, like, hey, that's awesome. Like, that was so much more helpful. And I was able to, like, stand there and just kind of, like, listen to where you were at in that moment instead of go running for the hills or check out of the conversation or withdraw somehow, right?
Yeah, and I think it's kind of interesting that you bring this point up, because I was thinking about how, you know, if we have some like belief that we are supposed to keep things like running smoothly at home, then when things don't run smoothly at home, which is inevitable, I think, especially if you have kids, you know, what do we do as wives? And I know for me, like, as I've been doing my own work over the years, one pattern I notice with myself is if like my husband wasn't happy about something, whether it was the kids or work, like had nothing to do with me, but like I couldn't fix it. And, like, I couldn't, whatever, people please it or whatever, I couldn't fix it. And so I would, like, go for the pantry. It was, like, my way of, like, avoiding the fact that I can't.
What do you mean, go for the pantry?
Like, I would go eat something or, like, overeat something.
You meant,
so it's, like,
just go hang out and hide in the pantry.
No, just go hide. No, but just, like, one of those things that's, like, I did want to, if we have, like, a manual for ourselves to people please our husbands in some way, first of all, we actually can't, like, make them happy. So then it's like we're trying to people please, but then we can't. And so then what do we do, right? And so for me, it's like going and, I don't know.
Yeah, I like it. And then I think one other thing I'd add, maybe you can do some of those cool quotes that you had if you want after that, is like if there is some like subject that is uncomfortable to talk about that one of you feels the need to address together, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's talking about porn or an issue, you know, where you didn't like how your spouse behaved toward you and you wanted to just kind of talk about it, whatever. Giving yourself permission to say no to these conversations is good. It doesn't mean we avoid them all together, but sometimes, like, I'm really, like, there have been other times where Lindsay might come talk to me about the dishes, like that example I just gave, and I'm not in a position where, like, I really want to talk about it. And I'll mm-hmm. be like, you know what? Like, not right now. Let's talk about this later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, too, right? But just finding a time where you can both have a genuine yes about having this conversation can go a really long way, right? And respecting the other person's choice whether to engage or not.
Right. And then just keep in mind, like, if we didn't already say this, like, you don't have to be everything to your husband, right? And vice versa. So, like, if he needs to talk to someone about his porn use or his guilt or his shame or his urges, like, that doesn't have to be you.
For sure it does not have to.
Okay. Absolutely. So even if he's like, no, I can't tell anyone else, like, honey, you do not have to. If you aren't in a place where you can feel pretty neutral while he talks about that stuff, like, you absolutely do not have to self-sabotage or self-sacrifice for him.
It is possible, I think, for guys to figure out their porn habits and what they want them to be without their wife if they rely completely on other sources.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But if there are ways you can show up for each other, then of course we want to, right? But you don't have to be everything in every way for your spouse. And
yeah,
knowing when to say no can go a long way.
Right. And I think sometimes with like this, if we're speaking about pornography specifically, like you can share without oversharing, right? So like, you know, like if your husband's like to have an urge, like we don't need to know like exactly what the urge was or like what triggered it or all the things. Like it's like a way to like, if we can't handle, like if we can't stay neutral while talking about those things, it's like asking for details is like punching yourself in the gut over and over again. Okay. So like you can get, you know, you can support your spouse in a way that works for you, and it's going to look so different for every couple. But like also like husbands, like, you know, if you guys are in a place where you're both working together on your own healing, you can let your wife know you had a hard day, but you don't need to know, like, she doesn't need to know, like, who or what it was that was, like, I don't know, that maybe, like, triggered an urge of some sort.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think just kind of respecting where each other's at. And
exactly.
If you're both willing to be honest about what really works for you in those conversations,
mm-hmm.
instead of trying to like people please your way through it, then
yeah.
then you can both come from a place of more safety and it's so much more constructive
yeah.
to do it that way. So then you're not shooting yourselves in the foot
mm-hmm.
along the way, right? You're like, you're able to both be healing and growing
mm-hmm.
and supporting each other in the way that authentically works for each of you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, some of those, you had some really good things you might want to read here.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of my colleagues, Bert Castillo, has some really good stuff on like people pleasing and unconditional love. So I'm just going to kind of read you some words. Okay. So, a few of her sentences. So here we go. Unconditional love has to always start with you, and unconditionally loving other people is also about you. And you will know the difference because of how you feel. Okay. Another part she says is, do I believe loving someone unconditionally requires me to lie? Spoiler alert, the answer is always no. Okay. And then again, I'm just going to reiterate what we talked about at the beginning of the podcast. Lying is people-pleasing. People-pleasing is lying. And it is not unconditional love for yourself. It's the opposite. It's lying about who you are and not loving yourself with the condition of how you actually feel.
That's good.
Yeah. Unconditional love for yourself and for others always includes the truth and loving them no matter how they respond to the truth. So good.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I think, you know, sometimes we think they should respond in a certain way.
Yeah.
Because of how we think it'll make us feel, right?
Yeah.
But the truth is, like, we can choose how we're authentic, but we also need to, like, we don't need to. We also get to choose if we're going to just let them react how they want to react.
Yeah. So I've got two more. Unconditional love and people-pleasing is never a thing. It's either unconditional love or people-pleasing. People-pleasing is always lying. It's always at your own expense. Okay. Last one. Let's see. All right, I love this so much because it really does start with you. If you're in a marriage and you are committed to loving your spouse unconditionally, you can't do that if you don't love yourself unconditionally first. That's a prerequisite. You have to love yourself unconditionally, including all of your opinions, all of your thoughts, and everything that feels true to you. So start with that.
I like that. Yeah, that reminds me of that other experience. Maybe I'll share it real quick.
Sure.
Or should we end?
No, you can share it. Okay. Go for it.
I'll keep it short. I was getting coached the other day, right? And, you know, I've heard these things throughout my life. Like, oh, you hear women talk like, he's not making any money, or what a bum. Like, he doesn't have a job. Like, you're still with him?
Yeah.
Why are you still with him? You know, and people said this to Lindsay when I was having health troubles and not working for a time, and
their intentions were totally pure, like they were wanting to protect me.
Yeah, and I don't feel like I'm judging them for that right now. Yeah, I don't think I am. Maybe a little. I don't know. but people said this to Lindsay, right? And it's like, that's something. It's a painful story, right? Like, am I not worth being with? So I was getting coached, and basically, after lots of questions and exploring, I realized, basically my coach was like, okay, so then if you weren't like making this minimum baseline you have for yourself over 20, 30 years, as you've described, Danny, then like, should she stay with you? And when she asked that, I was like, oh man, like, for her own sake, I think she should leave me. And I realized, like, I believed this story. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we hear these stories, these judgments that seem so painful to us, like, mm-hmm. it pretty much always comes back to, like, how much you buy into that story yourself. And sure. So this is just something, like, if you're people-pleasing from this kind of place where you think that you're not worth being with, like, that's another valuable thing you can do for yourself, is if you were able to build that relationship with yourself where mm-hmm. you truly believe, like, you know what, I'm worth being married to.
Yeah.
I'm worth sticking with, even if I mess up with porn sometimes, even if I mm-hmm. do this, even if I do that, even if I'm out of work sometimes, like, I'm still yeah. worth it, you yeah. know? And that was another big shift for us in our relationship, is when I started buying into, like, you know what, I'm worth it, yeah. you know?
Yeah, and I'll say for me, like, I think I had a lot of those shifts more, like, in my career and being willing to shift into doing what I love more than what I liked doing, right? And so there's a part of me that was like, ah, like, switching from CPA to life coach, like, there's, like, that people-pleasing side of me that was like, ah, like, what are all the CPAs going to think? You know what I mean? Like, there's yeah. that, like, that side, but then it's like when you... And I think this goes back to those quotes about unconditional love. It's like, I just got to this point where it's like, I love myself too much to not, you know? And like, what if saying no to others, and this isn't specific to like my career, but like when people want you to do things, what if sometimes saying no to others is saying yes to you?
Yeah, okay. That's good, Lens.
And then let's talk about like your, I mean, I think we can talk about results, like the results of you shifting into this person who loves himself more and him doing things that he wants to do because he actually knows he wants to, instead of doing everything out of obligation. How's that been for you? What results in your life have you noticed?
When I shift to what I want instead of yeah. focusing just on obligation?
Yeah.
I mean...
Like, how much more do you enjoy your life?
I enjoy my life more. I mean, that's like, if you really sum it up, it's like, I like my life a lot better. And I've learned to like... to nourish and develop my wants from an authentic place of, like, you know, time spending with yeah. the kids or time spent with you or...
Like, let's paint a picture of that. Like, a father playing with his kids because he wants to.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of thinking you have to be a good dad. Like, what mm-hmm. if it's just, like, you just want to be a good dad and you just want to play with your kids.
Yeah.
That day.
Like, how much more fun is it to play with your kids because you see, you've given yourself enough permission to not always do it, or like, so that you can see that that is actually what you want. So it's like you're loving all those parts of you,
yeah.
but then going with what you want. Like, how different are your experiences with your kids or with yourself, like when you're working out or
yeah.
with me?
I mean, it makes, or with work. It makes all the difference, and it's so much more sustainable. Mm-hmm. And that's something I'm really working on, is how do I make it more sustainable and more fun,
mm-hmm.
And stem from a place of love instead of fear and healing,
mm-hmm.
right? Instead of abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's and enriching, really cool. enriching my life. That's like what I'm going for right now. And I'm making headway. Having a coach, I'm going to be honest, like hiring a one-on-one coach again the last few months has helped me have some major transformations in all these areas we just talked about, like taking it just to the next level,
yeah.
Making work that much more fun, yeah, and family life, just all of it.
It's and you know what's awesome. Kind of fun?
This work is so impactful. So.
You know what's kind of fun? I mean, you guys know we live in France, so we have like, you know, some people look at that as like this cool like fairy tale thing. I mean, it's awesome, but we still have problems here. But, like, you know, talk about, like, how fun your work is. Like, you're doing the same work. Like, when you figure out this people-pleasing, like, even if you're doing the same work, how is your work different? Like, how much more do you enjoy your work day versus, like, when you're coming from a space of obligation versus, like, how can I make this fun? How can I make this more sustainable? Like, do you notice a difference in like how productive you are or anything like that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't want to go too much in depth here. We should probably wrap it up in a second, right?
Yeah.
But sure. How much more? It's hard to do a short answer. I mean, it's just better. Like, it's just better. In short, like, yeah, it just is.
Yeah, love it.
So, and you know, like, this is one of the questions that was really appealing to me in my process, is like, how do you make your real life so genuinely good and enriching that mm-hmm. porn becomes less relevant and even irrelevant?
Yeah.
And I love that question, and I still am working on all of that, but like, I've come a long way, and it's amazing to think of where I was and where I am now, and then where I can get is exciting to think about too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So if this is you, like, just know that like stepping into your own and learning, you know, getting to this place where you love yourself and, you know, you love yourself enough to say no sometimes, right? Like Byron Katie says, you that you can say, I love you and no. That doesn't mean it's going to be completely comfortable for you to say that and that the other person is going to respond in that way. But like unconditional love is like loving yourself through that too. Loving yourself through other people's responses. Okay. And just know, like, I love that idea of like, you know, not everybody likes a peach, but it doesn't mean peaches aren't amazing. Okay. So it's not other people's job to like me. That's my job.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That's a good one. It's not other people's job. That's my job.
Yeah.
Don't put that on other people. Start with you.
Yeah. And then I will tell you guys, like, as I did more and more of this for myself years ago, it was a different type of transformation for me. But holy crap, I feel like my tribe came out of the woodworks. Like, I found my people. So I would say my current connections.
Oh, that's a cool perk out of this, huh?
Like, it's okay. Here's the thing. Current.
Yeah. Let's add this.
We'll
just do two parts on this podcast, I think.
I already decided that.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of thought so.
My current tribe, like my current connections got deeper. Like, seriously, like, you either go deeper with your current tribe and then you find more people from your tribe. So I just have so many more relationships that are so much deeper and connected than I could have ever pictured, like, before.
Yeah.
Being willing to, like, love myself.
Right.
The way that...
And some of the friendships don't, like, last through that, right? Some of them, like it's
some relationships complete themselves, and that's totally okay. It doesn't mean anything's gone wrong. They just, like, they were meant to be for a time, and then they complete themselves.
Yeah, and that, but then, like, you being more authentic to you, like, would you rather have friends who like the you pretending to be something you're not, or friends who, like, really see you, the authentic you, and want to be around you and love you? Like,
how much less energy does it take to hang out with the latter?
Yeah, and then, you know, like, when you think about, like, when you got married, like, you just loved each other, right? And mm-hmm. we have all this life stuff happen, but like, what if you can have that in your marriage too? Like, you're growing, you're changing, you're being authentic to you, and you learn to like love yourself that way mm-hmm. and love your spouse for exactly their complete package, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if you can really create that for you in your marriage?
And it's so much easier when you start with you. So when you can get to a place where you're loving your complete package, I'm telling you guys, it just comes so much more naturally and organically for other people in your lives.
Yeah.
So those you know deeply, you love.
So get to know yourself
deeply. Get to know yourself deeply.
Stephen Cope. That's a good one.
All right.
Okay.
Peace out.
Glad you guys joined us. Thanks for listening.
If you're ready to get unstuck, move forward, or just feel better about your life and marriage, please reach out to us, whether it's for both of you or just yourself. You'd be surprised how much progress can be made in your marriage even if one of you works on the relationship. Don't wait for someone else to make things better for you.
For more information or to find out what it would be like to have a coach, visit our websites, lindsaypullman.com and dannypullman.com. Make sure you spell Pullman, P-O-E-L-M-A-N. For freebies or other guides mentioned, check out the show notes.
And to our current clients, we love you and thank you for letting us be a part of your hero's journey.